brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
They're pretty. They're so pretty. I've never heard a team described as being pretty before.
More concerned about the heart of the young man playing on his team than he was about their performance.
Yeah, that's a dollar in the jar, by the way, by saying that it's a game at a time.
We're about Austin, and we try to play out state games to bring attention to football.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. John here, Hannah on assignment, and the assignment this week is to get better. She's under the weather. We got to make sure that she's at 100% as we get ready for another Football Friday in Georgia. Our broadcast on the TV side is going to be Valdosta and South Gwinnett at the corner of 78 and 120, the Scenic Highway and Lawrenceville Highway. Coming up, one of the guests in this show this week is going to be one of those coaches, Shelton Felton, the head coach of the Valdosta Wildcats. He is going to be joining us. The other guest this week had a big win on the road at Rome. Toombs County, the Bulldogs, knocked off Rome. It was one of those, as our good friend Tommy Palmer would say, pack a lunch, a dinner, a midnight snack, the hard hats, and anything else that you had in mind to get the ready for this particular road trip. We'll ask about the road trip, what he might have learned about his Toombs County side, one of the top-ranked teams in class single A. So it's Shelton Felton, Buddy Martin, you, me, I'm on this side of the glass. The guys are on the other side of the glass. We'll go through what happened the week that was with all of our prospective schools. It was a bye week for a lot of them. So we'll get into that, and we'll get into some of the games to watch coming up this week. In addition to ours, Jefferson North Oconee, by the way, is the web game at gpb.org/sports. Make it a multi-screen experience. You got big screen, little screen, all the TVs, all the monitors. Maybe you could do like a quad box or something and get all of that squared away. So without further ado, let's catch up with our first guest of the week, the head coach of the Valdosta Wildcats, Shelton Felton. My first question for you is, have you recovered from your first road game of the year that was actually out of state?
It was good. I think we recovered well. It was a long trip down and a long trip back, but it was a very successful trip. So we'll take it. But I think we recovered like you go.
How long does it take to, you know, prepare for something like that? Are you leaving the day before? Are you leaving in groups? When you have a trip like that, when you're going to Jesuit, how do you budget that out?
What we try to do is we try to split it in half. We take a group on Thursday. We'll leave up around about 2 o'clock Thursday, about 4.5 hours drive, and we'll get down, stay in the hotel. Go to a good dinner, come back, have a nice walk through team meeting. Then we have lights out around about 10:30. Then we get up in the morning, have breakfast, team walk. We'll do a little class work, have an hour or so, can cut off from work. And then we'll give them a rest, lunch. And we'll, about that time, we'll go do our special team walk. And everybody from the second group should be pulling up, and we go into our routine.
Are you going to do the same thing this week for the trip to South Gwinnett? Are you going to cut it in half with your players and the trips and all that kind of stuff?
That's what we're doing. As you're speaking now, we're planning that now, and we're thinking about doing the same because the last year was very successful, and we're very leaning toward doing it again.
When it comes to, and I know that you want to like take like your starters, that would be the first group up because you want them rested. How many players do you end up taking when you split something like this in half? Is it the two deep that goes up first? How do you figure all those numbers out?
Usually it depends. We try to go all starters, and we treat special team guys the same way with starters. And what I like to do is reward the guys that are on the scout team. They give you all they got all week long, go hard, because it's a little carrot you can hang over for those guys that are able to go. But we try to keep the number sometimes between 50, 55. We try to bring on these 50, sometimes a little less.
What's it like to have a school system and an administration that gets it, that they know that because you are Valdosta, you're going to have to schedule out of state. Folks are going to want to try to knock the battery off your shoulder and sit there and go, you know, look what I did. To have an administration that's that understanding, it's like, look, they're going to be out Tuesday. I'll try to keep them in class as long as I can. What's it like to have an administration that's that supportive?
We're very good at administration. Our principal, Dr. Marshall, understand. Our superintendent, Dr. Lockhart, they understand, you know, Valdosta. We're about Austin, and we try to play out of state games to bring attention to football, and and to the people. We do a great job hand in hand. Because when old guys miss class, we make sure that following that night today, we'll have study hall for those guys to make up work, get that stuff done, get it turned in. We work hand in hand to make sure they don't miss too much class.
These days with reclassification, it's a 50-50 schedule. You've got five region games, but it's region one, and so it's a bunch of heavyweights. It's going to be 15-round fights. How difficult is it to fill out that schedule with the non-regions, knowing that you're going to have to go a long way to take on a South Gwinnett, knowing that you're going to have to go to Florida to take on a Jesuit? How difficult is it to fill out a schedule?
It's hard. I think what I try to do is I try to base my non-region off some of the things that my guys do in the region to get up ready for it. And I'm a firm believer, if we're going to win a region championship, compete for a state championship, we got to win the road. So we need those tougher road opponents to go on the road. A great team winning in the road at Weather's home.
This go-round, your road games later on in the region schedule are Richmond Hill, which is basically like going to Bermuda to, you know, to get ready to play. And then Wintersville is last on the schedule. Yeah. I thought that was wild. You got to build everything up this year, and Wintersville Classic, you and Lowndes, that's the last game of the regular season, man.
Well, since I've been here, it's been early, but listen to some of the old heads and how it was in the past. It's been game 10, so it's going to be a sight, but like I got to tell our kids, we're one game at a time. When we get to that point, we're prepared and ready for it. But the last game is going to be a really big game for, you know, about Austin Long.
Yeah, that's a dollar in the jar, by the way, by saying that it's a game at a time. Yeah, that we have the soundbite jar. That's a dollar in the jar for that one. And I'm gonna have to grab that dollar from you when I see you on Friday night.
It got to.
Yes, 7-point win against Jesuit, but you had a little bit of distance, and then it finished up being a 7-point game. What'd you learn about yourself on the field, not just being on the road and traveling 4.5 hours each way?
Well, it was a very hostile environment. We learned that. You know, sometimes as our first taste of adversity at times, that we was able to overcome it. Our kids played well today. We played a great competition. They had a quarterback that was really, really good, and he made some really good plays. But I learned that we was able to defend the game, and our offense was playing lights out. And they got to score the last drive, and it was like maybe 4 minutes left, went 4 minute offense, and they didn't touch the ball again. So that's very good to see with a young team.
4-0 out of the blocks in your non-region. This is your last non-region game before you go into 1-6A and all of the madness that is there. What has study hall been like getting ready for Brian Lamar and South Gwinnett? As you and I are talking, it's obviously very early in the week, and I don't know if you spent your Sunday watching the NFL and just kind of decompressing or actually watching film on a tablet. What's study hall been like?
I think Coach Lamar done a great job. Those guys at Gwinnett, they're very fast and long. Like anybody, they're pretty. They're very pretty side. They have a lot of team speed. But the biggest thing you see when you watch them, they run to the ball and they play hard. And that's a compliment to him and his staff. They play real closely on defense. On offense, got a lot of speed. It's going to be a good test for us to see that kind of speed and that kind of physicality, which we're used to and we like the ball to.
See, you reminded me of Wesley Snipes there for a second. They're pretty. They're so pretty. You know, white men can't jump after he hits the jump shot. They're pretty. They're so pretty. I've never heard a team described as being pretty before.
Yeah, and what I mean by that is just the measurables. You know, you look over there, you got long corners, very long ones. You got defensive end, 6'3", 6'4", interior guy, all line speed. You know, those measurables, you know, when you're as a coach and look at a player, those measurables stand out. You know, everybody wants to measure these times, especially in college football. Everybody wants a 6'5", 6'4", guard, a 6'2", 6'1", corner. Those guys to stand out, and there are a lot of guys to lift that part.
Well, as always, Coach, it's great to catch up with you. I know you're doing the car wash with us this week with conference calls and getting ready to travel and all that kind of stuff, getting ready for the matchup against South Gwinnett. Thanks for dropping by the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. We'll be seeing you offline soon, and we'll be seeing you online and on air on Friday night. Thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for having me. Don't care.
One coach down, one to go, and we're going to catch up with a team that is toward the top of the rankings in Class Single A. On their side, they got a big win on the road. Time to catch up with Toombs County, find out their story here so far in 2024. Here's their head coach, Buddy Martin. Thanks for dropping by. When you look at how things are for you right now, it was a big win on the road. And I know that you like to challenge yourself with games like this. How did this game with Rome come about, actually?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think when you're looking at making our schedule, not one that we were wanting to make, but got into it. You know, we're in a, you know, dropping down to Division One of Single A. We were in a smaller region, so only had four region games, and having to find six non-region ended up being a pretty tough task for us for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, you know, we had a really solid group returning, and so, you know, teams that were looking at scheduling us were wanting to be very strategic about when they played us. And then a lot of teams around us, you know, are in a lot bigger regions. I mean, I know a lot of those toward the Dublin area are in 8-9 team regions. And so it just became tough finding some games. And we were looking at teams out of state, looked at a few in South Carolina. But, you know, I guess a lot of those school districts over there told them that they wouldn't allow them to travel to Georgia. Just a lot of different factors. We kind of get into March, and I was thinking, man, I'm going to end up on spring break and still looking for a game. And I was ready to be done with it. And I saw that Coach Reed had posted they were looking for a game, and he and I were able to get together and make it work. And I think, you know, one of the things for us, you know, obviously, you know what kind of team Rome is, what kind of program they are. In my first 2 years of coaching, I was at Shorter University with Phil Jones. Mm-hmm. So definitely know a lot about Rome, but our season ended last year on a trip up to Rockmart. I felt like we had traveled well up there and had a good plan, but we came out slow, and Rockmart did not come out slow, and we just couldn't catch up at the end of the day. And so was kind of anxious to, hey, let's go do that trip again. Let's do some things a little differently, and let's see if we can get that taste out of our mouth. And our guys handled the trip well, and I thought we came out and got after it.
We had Shelton Felton, the head coach of Valdosta, on before you this week, and he had to go to Jesuit last week for a game. This week he's on our air going to South Gwinnett. You have away games at South Effingham. You went to Rome. This week you're going to the Swamp, to Folkston. Basically, yeah, you wanted a Florida game? You got one going to Charlton County. I mean – when it comes to figuring out how you divide your team, do you go up the day of? Obviously, there are lessons there that you learned against Rockmart. How different was your preparation getting ready for Rome? Did you divide folks up? How deep did you go here?
Yeah, so, you know, we had talked about it, you know, back Rockmart. I've got a great coaching staff with some veteran guys that have been hit, three or four guys that have been head coaches, and we played with it at Rockmart, but we had never done that, you know, never split up, never taken guys up early here at Toombs in the 8 years I've been here. And but obviously, you know, you learn from that trip and you think, well, let's try something different. So we were able to, you know, we took about 34 guys up Thursday and made the trip to Rome, and then, you know, spent the night, and, you know, we're able to you know, Zach Morrison, the head coach at Shorter, was playing there when I was coaching there. And so he was able to allow us to use their practice field and some of their facilities to meet during the day, and just kind of a place to go during the day. And then, you know, we had a JV game Thursday night. So some of our coaches had to stay. A lot of those young guys had to stay, and they came up the day of. And I credit our kids. They did a great job on the road, did a great job at the hotel room. And I think you definitely saw it when we came out. I mean, our guys were locked in, ready to play. But, you know, I'd never taken a trip like that before, but it was good to do. And just to see how well our kids handled it was a plus.
When you've got a quarterback like TJ Stanley, who's responsible for 315 yards of total offense for you, and then you've got some great targets on the edges and also behind him, what's it like to have an offense that is humming the way that this one is right now at this point of the season?
It's special. It's good. I mean, special group. You know, I think, you know, TJ has done a phenomenal job. He's a leader. He's one of those guys that's even keel and doesn't get too up, doesn't get too down, always wants to perform better. I mean, he's telling you his corrections before you even had a chance to watch film and go through them. I mean, just a intelligent, savvy, smart, high character football player that wants to see his team succeed, and he's unselfish and he's going to do what it takes. But man, he had a phenomenal night. You know, using his legs a little more, you know, in the game. And we know in big games, we're going to have to do that, you know, and he ran hard, and you know, and then, you know, we've got some, we're more skilled than maybe we've ever been at Toombs County. I know in the 9 years I've been here, it's the most skilled group that we've had, and they're special. You get the ball in their hands on the perimeter and they can stretch the field and you're able to use the whole field offensively. It makes it tough. But you're right. I mean, having that guy, that trigger man at quarterback makes a difference.
So then let me carry it one step forward here. At GPB, we always like to do the Make That Kid an Offer segment where there's an athlete that's too whatever. And I know that, you know, in your time it's shorter, you know, you get to find out about a running back like AJ Cooley. You get to find out about a quarterback like Ben Williams. Yep. And those kind of guys that were a part of a system that Phil put together. And I've got a Phil Jones question coming up in a bit. But is there somebody that's too whatever there, too short, too small, too skinny, too whatever, that really fits that Make That Kid an Offer, that's not getting looks that you think they should get, or they're not getting enough looks that you think they should be getting?
I think I could go through our roster and name, you know, as you just, those guys are family and you love them. But man, there's two guys that come in. You know, we got TJ, he's got the offers. Lagonza Hayward, our 4-star safety, he's got offers. Mike Polk, another DB corner, he's got offers. You know, two that come to mind. One, Gavin Fletcher, he's a junior receiver. He may be the best receiver I've ever been around. I mean, he's catching balls Friday and he's catching a now route and making four guys from Rome miss and gaining 8 yards or gaining 12 yards. And that's a big difference, you know, and, can run, can jump. I mean, he's a phenomenal player that I think it's just a matter of time. He's going to blow up and get offers because he does have some decent, I mean, he's around 5'11". So he's got some decent size. The other one's our tailback. I mean, Davin Wadley, I think it was the 144-pound state champion in wrestling. Not a very big kid, but gets out in the weight room, and all he needs is a little crease, and he's out of there. And he has some really big runs. I mean, we're calling plays, you know, against Rome, and our offense coordinator did a great job. And we run a play, and Rome hits it in the mouth, and we're thinking there's no room. And somehow our running back Davin Wallace, somehow he gets out of there, and it turns into a big play. And we're thinking, man, glad he's on our team. I think those are two guys that come to mind.
14 for 138 against Rome last Friday night. Here's my Phil Jones question. Now, I mean, I'm sure that Davin, you know, hey, Zach would love to have him up on the hill. That much I do know. What did you learn from a coach like Phil? Because when you're around Phil, that aura is there of a gentleman in every sense of the word, on the field and off. When you're there and Janie's right there with him and you get to learn about what it means to be a family on the field and off the field, what did you learn from a guy like Coach Jones, who taught me a lot about being a husband and being there for the family unit off the field? What did you learn from a coach like that?
Man, I tell people this story. I played in AI ball at University of Cumberland's in Williamsburg, Kentucky.
Yeah, I've been there.
So my senior year was Shorter's first year as a program. So we played against Shorter. I was playing center for Cumberland's, and we beat them. We had a good game. We played well. We beat them. Then after that, you know, I had some people in my life, Richie Marsh, my dad, you know, just some people, Chuck King, who was my head coach up there, encouraging me that, hey, I think you'd be a good football coach. And I had not really thought about that a whole lot. Probably a lot like every other college athlete, thought I was going to play forever. So started looking at GA and went to interview at Shorter. And I spent hours and days and weeks in the room with my offensive line coach, just getting my mind wrapped around the triple option. We ran it at Cumberland, so I did know it. But I just knew when I went and met with Coach Jones, he was going to put me on the board and I was going to have to draw stuff up. And I remember meeting with him. It was a Saturday morning. The hill was empty. There was nobody there. It's Shorter. Go down to the basement where the coach's office are. I walk in the door. He had the door propped open, and I look down the hallway, and he's sitting where I came to see him sit many times for 2 years. He's sitting in the edge of a couch there in his office.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a yellow steno notepad. He's got an Experiencing God devotional, and he's reading and he's just writing. And I didn't even think he knew I was there. I knocked on the door. He said, "Hey, buddy, come on in. You mind if I finish writing?" I said, "Go ahead, coach." So he finishes his thought. He puts his stuff down and he says, "You mind if I just share my story with you?" I said, "Sure, coach. You know, think of this. You're the head coach. This is your interview." Yeah. And John, he shares his testimony with me for an hour and a half. The good, the bad, the issues with family that, you know, he was chasing being this ball coach, and the issues he had with his family and lessons he learned. And he's crying. I mean, it just he just opened his heart and poured it out to me. Then after an hour and a half, he looked at me and he goes, "Buddy, share your story with me." And so I share my story, you know, where I grew up and how, you know, kind of my faith journey and how I ended up at Cumberland and why football coaching and all that kind of stuff. And we got done and he said, "Well, you like Chick-fil-A?" "Sure." We go to lunch at Chick-fil-A and he offers me the job and didn't talk one ounce of football. And man, there was just situation after situation where Phil Jones was more concerned about the heart of the coach on his staff. He was more concerned about the heart of the young man playing on his team than he was about their performance, about their stats, about winning or losing. And I think it was a process for him, you know, knowing his story. He came to that. But I'm blessed to have started my coaching career getting to hang out with Phil Jones for 2 years. And I think that's molded me and shaped me into the coach that I am today. He's a huge part of my story now. And I'm thankful that you asked about it. And I think Phil Jones would not want to get the glory in any conversation about him, right? He would want to go to the Lord. And, you know, so I hope I shared that story in a way that does that.
Yeah, Phil is one of the great influences of my life when I got to spend time at Shorter covering Shorter. And so for the guy who was the host of a coach's show to be able to share what he's going through and, you know, how he's building a program and all that kind of stuff, he rubs off on you whether you think he does or not. You realize it a lot later that he's rubbed off on you in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
One more question. What's study hall been like getting ready for Charlton County? I'm going to take it back to football before we get out of here. What's study hall been like getting ready for that roadie down to Folkston?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's another good challenging road trip. I mean, you know, the tradition, the history of Charlton County, you're playing all that when you go down there. They've got a good football team. You know, they new head coach, you know, some new components of their coaching staff. They've got speed. They've always got speed in Charlton County. One of those things that kind of blows you away is just how they have it year after year after year. They've got some good size. I mean, they're a good team. I mean, I think I just met with my team before coming on here with you, and that's what we talked about. I mean, it's, you know, it was a great week three win, but now it's week four.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to set our sights back on, you know, I think sometimes the dangers in sport is that we are so caught up in the outcome that we forget who we are and what got us here. And so we're just going to lean into that, you know, who we are, who we're chasing to be the best young man that we can be and the best football team that we can be. And we got, if we're honest with ourselves, we're going to watch film in a little while. There's a lot we can improve on. And so I think that's the takeaway. I mean, we got to be ready for Charlton County. They're going to throw everything they've got at us. I mean, we're not going to sneak up on anybody this year. So that's the challenge in front of us, and I think, you know, our guys are locked in and ready to go for that.
3-0 versus 3-1, as always, buddy. Great to see you. Great to catch up, and it's great that you and I can break a little bread here and talk about one of the great guys that's out there in Coach Phil Jones. Thanks for dropping by the podcast. We'll catch up soon, my friend.
Thanks, John.
Great, as always, to catch up with the folks down there at Toombs County and Buddy Martin right now, top of the ladder in Class A D1. All right, let's go back over the week that was, get you into some of the big matchups coming up this week. Time to take the tour of this side of the glass and the other side of the glass. How did we do? It was a light week, actually. And as I was looking through, I think only a couple of us actually had games to talk about. And it was Hannah's Lassiter. and they lost. So Hannah's Lassiter lost. I don't know if you heard me. Hannah's Lassiter lost 63-20 to Creekview, and Commander Sandy's Decatur Bulldogs beat Stevenson in a big DeKalb County matchup 32-20. And I think that's it. I think those were the only matchups that we had this past week, because I was going up and down the standings trying to see how folks were doing, and I think those were the only two games we had played. We had an off week for a lot of us. Before we get into the thoughts of the day, here's some of the matchups I'm keeping my eye on this weekend. Carrollton hosting Gainesville. That's big. Buford at Douglas County. We had Douglas County and Hughes this past Friday on Football Fridays. It's going to be a great test for both of those sides, as Douglas County's at 4-0. Milton is at Blessed Trinity, 3-0 and 3-0. Lee County at Colquitt County. Colquitt County losing to North Gwinnett in the Hog Pen. How do they respond to this one? Lee County goes to Moultrie. Warner Robins last week in a shootout. They beat Houston County 54-44. They get the week off. Jefferson, North Oconee, 3-1 versus 3-0. That's our web game at gpb.org/sports. Burke County hosting Northside Warner Robins, a sneaky game. Franklin Stevens and Burke County at 3-1 beat Warren County last week by 38. They're going to host Northside Warner Robins this week. Keep an eye on that one. Ringgold lost to Rockmart in overtime. They're at North Cobb Christian this week. 3-1 is at 4-0. We talked about Toombs County and Charlton County. Fitzgerald is at Brooks. That one's going to be a fun one down in South Georgia. 1-1 and 2-1. Rabun County is hosting Bremen. 2-1 and 2-1. That one's going to be a fun one up there in the mountains in Tiger. Clinch County taking on a surprising Mitchell County side in Homerville, 4-0 and 3-0 in single A. And Savannah Christian is at Fellowship Christian. That's a big one on the private side, 4-0 and 2-1. That one is going to be fun. That's just a small sample of all the games that we're keeping an eye on here at GPB. All right, it is time for the words of wisdom. And this is where, whether it's Jake the Snake or Marky Mark, we always want to sit there and go, okay, what thoughts should we carry into the weekend when it comes to high school football, athletics, staying as healthy as possible? Marky Mark last week actually went the other way and thought that maybe less meant more. Less stretching meant more when it came to enjoying your experience. So now we bring in Marky Mark for the words of wisdom for this week. And now that you've had a couple of minutes to think about it, sir, what is on your mind this week for everybody that listens?
So I think I might have realized I was horribly wrong about that.
What?
I know, shocking. Being inactive actually causes major issues over time. And I think I learned that the hard way over this week. I have to apologize.
So how did you learn said lesson, sir?
Realize I have turned 30 and getting old is not fun.
Ambassador Jeremy with the laugh track back there. That you turn. So Marky Mark, you turned how old?
I turned 30... 3 months ago now? Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, the age is already hitting. Knees are going down. Things are getting rough.
At 30 years and 3 months.
The body's disintegrating.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not good.
I mean, seriously, John. I mean, what in the world? You're like 112.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying.
And he's 30. He's like, oh, I'm so sore. I'm so, oh, come
on,
Mark.
I feel weak, Jeremy. It's rough.
Oh, boy. This is, wow.
Wait, can you guys give me some advice right now? What should I do?
Stretch.
Stretch. Yeah, stretch. Maybe go for a walk.
Someone just suggested yoga?
Jeez.
Well,
do a lineman jog. This is a football podcast. Do a lineman jog around the neighborhood.
Get the rest of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast crew together and do an Oklahoma drill.
I have no clue what that is, I'll be honest.
Basically, what that is you have all of the, everyone but you is around you in a circle. And then what you end up doing is being challenged by each one of the individuals in that circle in a blocking environment. Basically, what you're doing is
this is a true inspiration
two rams on a
right
mountainside
now.
Bit where everyone from the Football Fridays in Georgia crew surrounds you. One of us jumps in the middle and challenges you to basically sit there and you know, knock heads or you know, shoulders or whatever. So something like that. Something involving a lot of heavy contact. Obviously, we would do it safely, but, you know, maybe, you know, grapple or wrestle or something. But
I'm going to be honest. I feel like this would make my soreness worse.
Well, you know what? by the time this show is over, meaning this particular season, you will have made it to 30 years and 6 months, man. You will have made it to 30 and a half. We've got to get you steering in the right direction to get you to 30 and a half in one piece. And then you get to New Year's. You get to make a New Year's resolution. Then it's 30 years and 7 months with that New Year's resolution and working your way forward. I see what our mission is here now. I see what our mission is. Our mission is to turn Marky Mark around by the end of the calendar year when he hits 30 years and a half. That's what we're doing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. King James is like, wrap it. All right, fine. I'm wrapping the show. For King James Ambassador Jeremy, for Hannah, for Marky Mark, for everybody else that's here, I'm just John, and we're going to go and come up with a game plan.
John, just one more thing real quick.
Sure.
Congratulations to Hannah Gooden.
That too, yes, absolutely.
For her award that she won.
Best anchor, according to the Georgia Association of Broadcasters, definitely. Great day for GPB across the board with GAB. So GPB and GAB, we're like this. Hannah, best anchor. Well done, well deserved. And I want the largest place known to mankind to make sure that that is like shining in her living room. Spotlighting the whole deal. That's it for the podcast. We're out. We'll catch up with you next time. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy your game.
To you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.